Well, good morning. I'm going to do what everyone hates. We're going to do that again. Good morning. That blesses me. I know I'm not alone. I'm delighted that you're here this morning on this Canada Day. My name is Keith. If you are a visitor here, we're thankful that you're here. Maybe you're here to visit Kelowna. Likely you're from Alberta. If you are here visiting Kelowna, we love you. You can drink our wine. We will use your gas. I invite you to sit under the living Word of God. That's a statement. But it is the living Word of God who has authority over us in our life. He loves us. He has life for us. So I invite you to sit under His Word. This is from Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 to 20. It's a relatively long passage. It's on page 816 in the book of the Bible in front of you in the pew. This is the word of the Lord. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be any, even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. And here is the gospel. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus far, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I cleaned out my car this week. I feel like I need to say it out loud because it doesn't happen very often. And I knew it was time because when I opened the passenger side door, my nostrils were assaulted. They were assaulted with something sharp and putrid. It smelled like a mix of sour milk and a teenager's gym socks. It was disgusting. And you know it's time to clear your car when you smell that kind of thing. So I started pulling out the wrappers from the console and the empty water bottles and the McDonald's bags that I had tucked under the front seat of the car. I hide them under there in order to hide my shame, all right? That's my public confession. And then I found the source of the smell. It was a half-drank kombucha bottle that had been sitting in a hot car for 2 weeks. Now, for those of you who don't know what kombucha is a tea that is made from bacteria and yeast. It's disgusting. All right? I'm going on record and saying it. So imagine bacteria and yeast in a nice, warm, cozy car with all that it needs to reproduce itself, growing for 2 weeks. And so I went in and I picked up the bottle with two fingers and I held it out and I recycled it properly. And I put all the rest of the garbage into the recycling. I threw out the trash. I began to vacuum the carpets and the seats and wipe down the surfaces before finally opening a fresh, brand new air freshener. I picked the new car smell. It was beautiful. And it feels good to clean the car, doesn't it? You've been there? Maybe your car is not as messy as mine, but it feels good to clean it. In fact, after cleaning the car, I actually enjoy driving it again. Do you know what I mean? The same is true about clearing out our closet, right? Going through all the clothes that we're not using anymore and sending them to the Salvation Army, and finally rehanging all the sweaters that are just lying in a pile in the corner of the closet. It feels good. Or what about the Tupperware drawer? Does anyone have the Tupperware drawer at home? I'm not the only one who has the Tupperware drawer. This drawer is a beast to keep organized, right? With all the lids and the awkwardly shaped containers. And when the drawer gets out of hand, it feels good to clean it out, to reorganize it, to get it back into order, right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And like the car, or the closet, or the Tupperware drawer, our life in Christ needs a little TLC. A little cleaning, reorganizing, a little reordering. And the Apostle Paul, he points us in that direction here in Ephesians chapter 5, which I just read. Now, before, in the month of June, this past month, we began our Let's Talk series. And so we took a break from our series in Ephesians. We began it a number of months ago, and we took this last month off to do our Let's Talk series. Today, we're jumping back into the book of Ephesians with the text I just read. So let me, by way of review, go through a few things that we've learned about the book of Ephesians. First, the first half of Ephesians, chapters 1 to 3, they are all about theology. They teach us about what God has done through Jesus to reconcile the entire world to himself. These opening chapters, they paint a cosmic picture, a grand cosmic picture of all that Jesus has done through the cross in order to heal our brokenness and invite us into a new life with him. They explain that through Christ and the Spirit, God is creating and empowering a new society of people, the church. He's creating a new society of people in the world that is charged with reflecting his glory and his gospel into the world. Chapters 1 to 3, they are all big picture stuff. They paint a cosmic picture. They're all theology. Then in chapters 4 to 6, the second half of the book are all practical. They deal with the down-to-earth, nitty-gritty of life, relationships amongst the church, relationships between men and women, husbands, wives, children, parents, workers, employees. They are all about the real life stuff that we face day in and day out. They deal with the stuff that we need to apply to our lives, a little bit like cleaning out a car, cleaning out the car of our life. And today we enter into the text of Ephesians 5. It's right in the middle of this practical section, this down-to-earth, nitty-gritty life section of Ephesians. And Paul, he brings to our attention this simple thing. Sometimes in life, we need to clean the car of our life. There are times when we simply need to reorder the closet and reorganize the drawer. We need to clear out the trash and face with courage the source of the smell that has developed over time in our life with Christ. And that's what I want to help us do this morning. As we walk through this passage of Scripture, I want to help us listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I've said it before, we all need someone in our life that is helping us be attentive to the voice of God in our life. So God has given us his word. He has given us his Spirit, and I want to lead us in that this morning, to be faithful to the text, so that we might be God's people in every sense of the word. And this is a word for God's people. And maybe you're a visitor here, and you're just checking out church, and Jesus, you're not too sure about him, If you hear something this morning that you're not certain about, just feel free to ask. I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you came with a friend. They'd love to talk to you about that as well. So let me say this to the church this morning, to everyone by extension. This morning, I want you to have courage. Have courage to let the Spirit of God speak to you about things in your life that you would rather not attend to. And when the Spirit begins to point things out in you, don't resist Him. Don't resist His work. When He points out the McDonald's bag that's hiding underneath the seat of your car, the one that you feel shame about, let Him do His work. Let Him do His work because He has your best interest at heart. Follow the Spirit's lead this morning, even if it's uncomfortable. And here's my promise. Jesus will bring His light of forgiveness and freedom. There will be thanksgiving. There will be worship. Let's pray. Lord, we invite You. We invite You by Your Spirit to reorder our lives. We open our lives to You, God, and say nothing is hidden from Your sight. You know all things, and You love us. So have Your way in us, Lord Jesus, by Your Spirit. May we truly be the people of God. So we pray these things in Your name and in Your name alone. Amen. Paul writes, verses 3 to 4, "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." And now, you know what I've come to learn in all my years of walking with the Lord? God's Spirit, He can do amazing, powerful, transforming things in a person, or in a church for that matter, but the Holy Spirit will not. The Holy Spirit will not move in power when her people are living in darkness. The great movements of God's Spirit in the church and in history do not happen when God's people have grown complacent with or attached to their sin. The Spirit never moves in power when we simply let the junk pile up in our life and we don't let God deal with it. I submit that to you. That God does not work in our lives. He does not work in the church when we have got ourselves mixed up in things that don't resemble the light of God. And I'm not talking about simply doing something wrong once or twice in our life. It's growing accustomed to the things that we know are darkness, and they grieve the Holy Spirit. Mark this. Secrets muzzle the power of God. When we live with secrets, they muzzle the power of God in our life. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Corinthian church, he asks rhetorically, he says, "What fellowship can light have with the darkness?" What fellowship does light have with the darkness? The answer is obvious to someone who knows the light of Christ. The answer is nothing. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. The light of God in us has no fellowship with it because God's light in Jesus is meant to extinguish the darkness. So as your pastor, allow me to ask, are you living with secrets that are muzzling God's Spirit in your life? Secrets maybe that you're keeping from your spouse or your business partner or your boss, your friend? God does not work in the dark because God comes to transform the dark. And I think we all live, every one of us who has turned our life to Jesus, we live with this deep desire to experience more of God in our lives. More of His Holy Spirit power, more of His joy and fulfillment, right? You live with that desire. I know it. We want to know God more intimately, and be used by him more effectively and experience his love more deeply and participate in his mission more powerfully. We want that. But what I've come to learn in my own life, and this is my own life, is that none of this can happen unless I am willing to let God shine light into my darkness. You will never know the more that you long for unless you bring your sin and brokenness to God for the forgiveness and healing he has provided for us in Jesus Christ. Friends, I want to shine the light of Jesus into your hearts through this text of Scripture today, as God has been shining it into my life all week. Keep going. Stay open. The Spirit of God has something for you this morning. I know it. The Apostle Paul names three categories of darkness that we need to pay attention to. They're in verse 5. He writes, "For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Do you hear the three categories? They're pretty, you can see them on the screen. Immoral, impure, greedy. Immoral, first, refers specifically to sexual sin. And in many ways, this category speaks for itself. When I was making my notes this week, I had this big, long list of things. And I thought, you know what? I don't need to name any of them. It speaks for itself. Jesus, he wants to shine his light of the darkness. He wants to shine his light into the darkness that you experience in this area of your life. So let me ask you, if the Spirit of Jesus were to clean out the car of your life, what would he find here? What specifically is his Spirit right now pointing to and saying, "I want to deal with that darkness"? You can trust him. The second category Paul mentions are the impure. Now, I know this sounds strange, but I love this word in the original language. It comes from the same root word that we read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 in the Beatitudes, but we read it in the positive light. It's not impure, but it's pure. Matthew 5, 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart are those who are not mixed up in darkness. This is what the word means in the original language. Like a pure metal, they don't mix with what is false. They don't pretend to be something that they are not. They are transparent. They have integrity. And so the impure, then, are those whose life mixes together God's truth and ways with the world's misguided truth and ways, with their beliefs and practices. There is a mixing of these two things. There's an impurity. The impure are those who pretend to be something that they are not. Maybe speaking one way on a Sunday morning, but a different way on Monday at work or Friday after work. What you see isn't exactly what you get with the impure. They lack integrity. The impure are those who've knowingly or unknowingly blended what is good and right with what is evil and wrong. And this is at the heart of what Paul is speaking about here. It's at the very heart. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, he speaks of us and he says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of the light." You were once darkness, but now you are light because Jesus saved you from the darkness. So don't mix with the darkness. And so allow me this morning to press into this particular category of impurity for a moment. If the Spirit of Jesus were to clean out the car of your life, where would he see impurity? Where would he see you saying one thing with your lips, but doing another thing with your actions? Where would he see his truth mixed with what is false? Perhaps for you, You've been forming an emotional attachment to another man that is not your husband. And the Spirit of God has been asking you to bring that into the light. Or maybe for you, you're living into a disobedience to Christ. Rather than living with a spirit of obedience, you're living with a spirit of disobedience. Perhaps it's an unwillingness to follow through on a word that God has spoken to you, a word where he's asked you to end a bad relationship or stop a destructive habit, or some kind of word that God has spoken to you, but you've said in your heart, you know what, God, I'm not willing to follow. It's an impurity with who we are. See, God calls us to a spirit of obedience, but sometimes we live with a spirit of disobedience. Or maybe for you, it's not a spirit of disobedience you're living with, it's a spirit of unforgiveness. You've mixed God's forgiveness of you with an unwillingness to forgive someone else. Some of you here, and I have to say, I'm facing all these things myself. This is not me pointing a finger. This is me looking at myself in the heart. And there are some of you here today that may be living with a different kind of impurity. Perhaps you've been participating with a different kind of spirit. Not a spirit of unforgiveness or disobedience, but rather a spirit of darkness. In your distress or curiosity, perhaps you've turned not to God, but to the evil one for help through the occult or a medium or something like that. And friends, if this is you, the light has no fellowship with the darkness. And Jesus wants to come to light so that he might bring his mighty deliverance and power into your life today. Today. For others of you, maybe impurity rests in the fact that you've so mixed together your Christian worldview with the view of our world. You're quick to follow the counsel of our culture, and you're resistant to follow the counsel that God gives to us in his word. If the Spirit of Jesus were to clean out the car of your life, where would he see impurity? What is the Spirit speaking to your heart? Where is he saying, I want to deal with that darkness? You can trust him. The third term Paul directs us to is the greedy. If the Spirit of Jesus were to clean out the car of your life, what would he find here? Greed for stuff, for money. Maybe you're greedy with your time, thinking that your time is all yours to use however you want. These are the three things he points out: immorality, impurity, greed. The Spirit of God wants to search these areas of our lives this morning, not because he's out to get us, and not because he wants to control you or condemn you. I need to make that clear. The Spirit of God does not point these things out in order to condemn us. He points these things out in order to convict us so that we might bring them into the light of Christ and find healing. God is not out to control or condemn, but he knows that what these things do to our soul. He knows that you will never know the fullness of life and freedom and sustaining joy unless these things are brought into the light of Christ. The Holy Spirit knows that you will never experience the depths of God's grace and love unless he has complete access to every part of your heart and your life, every part. You see, when we settle into these things, when we settle into impurity or immorality or greed, which again, I want to point out, are different than having an immoral or impure or greedy thought, deed, or word. When we grow comfortable or attached to these things, we slowly lose touch with the Father to whom we have been reconciled. We grieve his Holy Spirit and we quench his power in our life. And we begin to limp along in our Christian life, never living into the fullness of our potential in Christ. O people of God. May we have the courage to let Jesus clean out the car of our life. Spirit of God, search our hearts. Search our hearts and see if there is any evil way in us. Let us not get in the way of your work in this world. For Jesus, we know that your gospel has come so that all men and women would find life in you. Holy Spirit, may we not get in the way of life. Search our hearts, Spirit of God. Jesus, we desire to be your holy people. So bring into the light what has lived in the darkness for too long, Lord. Spirit of Jesus, we will not resist you. We are open to your work. We are open to your prompting. So in this moment, Jesus, shine your light into the areas of our lives that you want to address. Spirit. You can trust him. And as the Spirit of God moves among us, let me point you to the gospel of Jesus, verse 13 and 14. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And that is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." When we bring our darkness into the light of Jesus, Jesus always, always does something powerful. Jesus transforms our darkness to become a reflection of his light. It's what he does. The light of Jesus always, mark this, the light of Jesus always transforms what it illuminates. The light of Jesus always transforms what it illuminates. The unique gospel of Jesus rests in his power to turn the darkness he shines upon into light itself. It's what Jesus wants to do with the things he's pointing out in your life, to expose them and transform them so that you might be the light of Christ. When I was younger, I remember having a man come visit us in our home whom we had met at our church. And I think his name was Adam. I was young, but I think his name was Adam. But what I remember about this man vividly was his character. It has stuck with me for quite a long time, probably 30 years. I remember Adam as a very thankful, very honest, and very kind man. And I got to know Adam when my parents hired him to come and paint our house, because Adam was having a real hard time getting people to hire him. He had a painting business, and people wouldn't hire him. And when I asked my parents why people wouldn't hire him, they explained that Adam had cheated many people out of money. In effect, Adam had been a thief, and he had burned every bridge he had come to. But then Adam had an encounter with Jesus, and his life changed radically. The light of Jesus had shone into his darkness, and his dishonesty was replaced with a humble honesty. And Adam went to work diligently, saving money so that he could pay back all the people that he had cheated in life. And he went to each of them, and he asked them for forgiveness, offering to try and repay what he had taken. He was walking in the light of Christ. And that's when I met Adam. It's what I saw in Adam. The light of Jesus was shining in this man, though he had faced his darkness. It's what Christ does. And I was always struck by how Adam carried himself in those days. It will stick with me forever. He didn't wear the label of thief. He carried himself with the label of, "I am a forgiven child of God." His past did not define him. And even though everyone knew what he did, it didn't matter because Adam knew he was forgiven by God. And he knew that he was accepted by God's people, or at least those who really get it. And he knew there was healing and transformation in the name of Jesus. And you could see it no matter what Adam did. Adam has always been for me a picture of the power of Jesus' gospel at work in a person. Jesus shined the light into his darkness and transformed his darkness into a light. This is precisely what Jesus wants to do with the darkness you face today, to bring it into the light and transform it into a light that shines for his glory. Now, for over 2,000 years, as I draw things to a close here, for over 2,000 years, the church has practiced something we call confession. Confession is all about inviting the light of Jesus to shine on our darkness. And when we confess our sin to God and to others, we are participating with the Holy Spirit's work in us. We're simply agreeing with what he is already pointing out in us. We're bringing it into the light. In confession, we're admitting what God already knows to be true, and there is so much freedom when we do that. Confession, in many respects, is how we accept the gospel invitation of Jesus. Jesus promises that we can live the fullest life possible when we receive the forgiveness of sins he offers through his sacrifice on the cross. And we receive this promise when we bring our sin into the light and say, "Here, Jesus, this is who I was. This is what I've done. This is what I'm struggling with. Make me clean. Make me free. Make me whole." And he does it. Only Jesus can. I want to submit to you today that confession, coming clean before God and others, is actually the deepest desire of your heart. It is the deep desire of every broken heart, though we often resist it. My friend Sandy Calero is a pastor at Lake Country Alliance Church down the road. He once said to me, he said, "Keith, there is no greater gift than the gift of a clear conscience." I think he's right. There is no greater peace we can experience in life than knowing nothing stands between us and our God. And that's precisely the gift that Jesus offers us when we confess our sin to him. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He does not disappoint. So as I invite the worship team up, worship team, you can come join me at the front. As I invite the worship team up and lead us into a time of communion, because we have communion this morning, let me first lead you in a time of confession. When you came in, you were handed a blue piece of paper. And as the band plays, I want you to take a moment to ask the Spirit of Jesus to shine his light into your darkness. And ask Jesus where he wants to clean out the car of your life in these areas of immorality, impurity, and greed. And as you listen to the Spirit, I want you to write out your confession on that piece of paper. And then, once you've written out your confession, we are going to collectively read out a prayer of confession together. I'm not going to have you read out your confession, don't worry. We're going to collectively read out a confession together. And then when you come to the communion table, you're going to come and you're going to put your confession in the basket at the station, saying, "Jesus, I'm bringing this to you. I need your healing." And you're going to receive the elements that represent Jesus' blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And so you come with your stuff. You come with your confession. But you leave with the life of Christ, freedom. So let's take a moment and write our confession and say, "Spirit of God, search our hearts. Show us where you want to shine the transforming light of Christ today. And if the Spirit of God has been moving in you this morning, shining His light in areas where He wants to transform you, I'm going to ask you to take a risk. Because the Spirit of God is pointing things out in my life. I'm just going to ask you to stand. Because I'm standing. And I want to read this confession together. It's a confession I said every week as a boy growing up in the Anglican Church. It was a rhythm in my life that God taught me to have rhythms where I'm stepping into the life of Christ. And we would read this confession every week. And I want to read it together as we confess to Jesus and find His freedom. So let's read this together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your name. Amen. And as you come to the communion table this morning, having confessed our sins to God, we come to the One with power to forgive them. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and gave it to His disciples, and He said to them, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you." And after supper, He took the cup and said, "Drink this cup. It is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." So bring your confession, bring it to Jesus, and leave it here in the basket at His feet, and receive Christ's body, which is given for you, and His blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins, which brings freedom and joy. Come and receive. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's why we say, "Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And when we bring our stuff into the light of Jesus, He is faithful to forgive us and bring life and joy. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have hope that there is victory over the grave and that there is life today. And so I invite you to stand and sing in freedom, knowing that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that the Spirit convicts us to free us, and that's why Jesus has come. So let's sing in light of His victory and his forgiveness.